It's Thursday, September 5th, 2013. You're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to Episode 29, Somebody Call Me a Beaumont. Running time for this episode is approximately 50 minutes.
Hello, and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that doesn't belong in this world. My name is Jeremy.
And it is a terrible night to have Tyler as your host.
It's always a bad night to have Tyler as your host. For 2 weeks
so
running, I'm insulting someone.
And then he just, like, gives it to you? He's a great host.
I suppose that is right.
And that's only because I can't drink it all myself.
Well, as the sober one, I'm Zach.
I'm sober.
Well, I am drinking right now, but...
You're drinking Dr. Pepper, and not even Dr. Pepper and scotch, which I would punch you if you were drinking, by the way, but...
Why? Because it would be Diet Dr. Pepper and scotch?
No, because you don't mix scotch with something.
We had this really awesome double barrel scotch.
Oh, that was so good.
But Cody totally mixed it with Coke!
I didn't think he did.
Yeah!
Did he?
Yeah, he had a scotch and Coke with this awesome double barrel scotch.
I don't remember
that. We
can't
be friends anymore, Cody.
When was that?
It was quite a while
That's
ago.
That's what happened when we were playing Dark Heresy, I think.
It was like last New Year's or something. I don't know.
I don't think...
No, because the scotch was gone by New Year's.
I still have some.
Oh, I thought it was out.
Now I've got like
Or did
eight...
you just tell me that so I wouldn't finish it?
No, I would have...
I don't remember Cody ever having scotch.
Yeah, well, no, he decided he didn't like it, so he mixed it with Coke. I'm like, dude, that's good scotch. Don't do that.
Anyway, what have you been playing when you're not drinking scotch, Zach?
Baseball, some StarCraft 2 against some
Oh yeah!
Asshole.
You did play some StarCraft 2 against some guy.
Yeah, ass.
Yeah, notice how I said some guy instead of some asshole.
No, I did say some asshole.
No, yeah, but Jeremy didn't.
Yeah, played some StarCraft 2, lost.
That's weird, I played a game of StarCraft 2, and I forgot my orbital commands and that sucked. And this guy kept harassing me and blocking my third, but then he just stopped making units and I didn't.
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
And then he nuked by nothing. I was all freaked out because there was a nuke, but then it just turned out to be behind one of my supply depots. Oh, hey, and then we played a second game, and he kept insisting. He did a nuke there, too, that killed a siege tank of mine, and he kept insisting afterwards that he killed a siege tank and a Viking. So I watched the replay, and hey, you were right, technically. You killed a siege tank and a Viking. The siege tank was mine. The Viking was not.
Did I really hit my own Viking?
You did.
Ah, jeez. The nuke seemed like a good idea at the time. The minefield was just funny.
StarCraft 2 is a good game, folks. It's not free to play, but it's good.
Go
play it.
Go buy it and play it. I'm looking at Tyler right now.
That's fantastic. Is there something on my shoulder? You've got something on your
go
back.
Go buy it! I need somebody I can beat! And I think a little bit of Shin Megami 4.
Shin 10's pretty awesome. How are you liking it so far?
I like the game. It's hard to get into it sometimes because there's a little bit of grinding that's going on. I'm at one of the bosses, and I just tried to beat him, and I lost. It's a giant minotaur thing.
Have you ever played Nocturne?
I did play Nocturne. Heard the story about when we played Nocturne, right? I only played, like, the first half an hour. Me and my brother both played it. And throughout,
did we make the
exact
same choices?
Not only did we make the same choices...
They said the same things out of character at the same moment.
In real life, until we got to one point in the game where things changed.
Awesome. How hard is it by comparison?
I didn't play enough Nocturne to really be able to... And it was such a long time ago that I really can't say. On the normal mode, it is hard as hell.
You guys have never played the original Shin 10, have you?
Nope. No.
You know that kind of like awkward 3D maze thing, kind of like a Phantasy Star?
Yeah, that sucks.
Like almost everything is traversed that way in the original Shin 10.
No
with
thanks.
With no, like...
It's got a map, so it makes it easier.
That'd be a royal pain in the ass to try and navigate one of those without a map.
And there are like three people and it's like, who are you? You're an asshole, but you're also the leader. And then you get to choose your name and they're like, this is this guy. He's your best friend and he's also a dick, which is why you're friends. Except this is all in Japanese. And then they're like, this is this girl. She hangs out with you because she has nothing better to do, I guess.
Her self-esteem is low, and so negging her really works. That's why she hangs out with two dicks.
So, not a whole lot other than that.
Not that I can think of.
I'll go next, because that breaks tradition.
Ha-ha!
I've been playing Kingdom of Loathing. I finished my first go through the sea, which ate up a lot of my resources. I was kind of surprised just how hard it actually was. But that delayed me getting into the new challenge path, which is a little sad because it's awesome. You wake up and you remember you're still in high school. So you have to spend the first 40 adventures every day in high school. and what skills you do determine what click you join, and you need to be in a click, or you can't sit with anyone at lunch because they'll beat you up.
As I recall in high school, there was always that one empty table where people with no click sat.
Not in this version of high school.
Ah.
Also, you can't drink any booze except for booze you pay hobos to buy for you.
This sounds amazing. It's
pretty good. And you have extracurricular activities at the end of school that give you some sweet buffs.
Like if you play football, then you get like +2 beefiness or something?
Well, it's like 50% muscle for 20 turns or something. I don't remember what that one is. But yeah, and then you can go to like the chemistry lab and make sweet stuff with stuff you got in chemistry class.
Awesome.
Or shop class to make deadly nunchucks. Or art class to make a clay claymore.
A claymore.
No, a clay model claymore. That's what it is. So that's been pretty good. Playing lots of League of Legends because I'm me, and that's the other game I play. Civ 5, I've now won every type of victory on the mode below normal. So I'm trying normal mode, and it's kind of hard.
Yeah, Civ is kind of a hard game in general. It's a lot of fun, though. So.
I've only played one game on normal this far, and I got a kind of bad spawn, and Attila the Hun kept declaring war on me, which was unfortunate.
You haven't paid us enough sheep tribute.
I remember a game in Civ 4 where I just had Stalin keep trying to take this one city I had at the mouth of a river.
I had one where Napoleon kept threatening to declare war on me for not joining his religion, then he keeps saying, I'm sorry I'm not your religion, please have some more resources.
One of the games I did win, it was me, Napoleon, and Siam were this, like, axis of... I guess not axis, we were allied, and Napoleon's like, huh, I see you are also friends with Siam. Maybe our, like, mutual alliance will make great things. But then I tried spreading my religion to Napoleon, and he was like, no, it is war. So that was pretty good. I played a demo for a game called The Wonderful 101. Have you heard anything about this?
I've never even heard of this.
It's a Wii U only game. Incredibly Japanese.
That'd be why I've never heard of it.
You play a superhero team. They're kind of a mix between Sentai and American heroes. They have the power to deputize civilians and cops in danger. And then you use those people to create weapons.
That
sounds
awesome.
So you use one
awesome.
Of the sticks to, like, draw shapes with your people, and, like, a line forms blazing sword, and a circle makes a hand to manipulate things, and L makes a laser gun that shoots people.
That sounds pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah, it's fun. I don't know how to describe it. Your leader is constantly saying something like, wonder, jump, form wonder, sword. And
oh
looks like Captain
God.
Falcon, so that's good.
Indeed. Does he have the nipples on his suit, though?
I don't remember.
You're strangely obsessed with that.
It's distracting. Why would you do that? What costume designer is
to
like...
To help fight crime. Your opponents will be distracted. Just ask Batman.
I am darkness. I am the night. I have distracting bat suit nipples.
And bat ass. Don't forget the bat ass.
He is so bat ass. We're going to put in at basses.
That was bad even for you.
Don't you mean bat?
No. I don't.
What about you, Tyler? What have you been playing?
All the games.
All of them?
All of them, yep.
Even Dive Kick?
No, not Dive Kick. So I guess most of the games. Yes.
Really?
No. So over the weekend, I played this game, and I wrote an article about it, called Thomas Was Alone.
I've heard good things about that.
It was...
Some of them were from you.
Really?
Yeah, you on your website.
Oh.
That's also my website.
It's a game. It's actually pretty good. The narration is fantastic. But that really makes the game. As I mentioned in the article, I have played Flash games on Newgrounds that are equally ambitious and possibly even more so and address larger issues and are generally better implemented. But this one had a snarky British narrator, and that was kind of cool. It was definitely worth playing, and it's only like $10, which is slightly more than I would really want to pay for it, but I got it for free because Dax bought it for me.
Sweet.
But since Dax got that for me, and I realized that the Humble Bundle was a thing that kind of went on occasionally, I went and got the Origin Humble Bundle. So that got me Dead Space, Dead Space 3, but not Dead Space 2, for some reason.
People are hesitant to call that a Humble Bundle, given the
how
publisher behind
it. Yep, but it goes entirely to charity, so you can't really argue with that. But it's got Mirror's Edge... And some
so
other
they're
games
just offloading a bunch of properties that nobody actually wanted?
Yeah, no, it's a bunch of games that you are definitely older and they're probably not making a whole lot of profit on anymore. There's like a Medal of Honor, Battlefield 3, Populous actually came with it, which I might play. I'd have to get Origin for that, unfortunately, but...
It's a trap!
It is.
Don't put that on your new computer.
One of the games that came with the Humble Bundle that Dax got me was called The Showdown Effect, which looks really awesome. There's a game on Newgrounds called Super Fighters, which we'll probably link. Go play 5 minutes of that, and then imagine if it were made with, like, a budget. Because that's basically what this game is. You play, like, a generic action hero knockoff, like, not Arnold Schwarzenegger, we swear. And...
You mean Arnold Schwarzenegger!
Exactly. He's actually named, like, Dutch McExpatriate or something like that. But, you walk around fairly large levels, and you start... You have a starting artillery that you can choose, and you unlock different artillery, and they're all roughly interchangeable. Like, the bazooka is pretty awesome, but it only has one shot, whereas the AR is the default weapon. It has plenty of ammo. And a katana, because katanas are cool.
Everyone likes a katana.
But you get to run around, jump, sprint, and take cover in this, like, 2D environment. And, oh no, it's chaotic mayhem, and it's fantastic. So, unfortunately, it suffers from the Achilles heel of only having online play, and no single player, and no bots.
Aww.
It's kind of painful. But the other game I got with the Origin bundle is Burnout Paradise, and it is freaking amazing.
So you're actually liking it?
Oh yeah, it's fantastic.
You wrote an article about how cool that is too, didn't you?
Yeah, so I also wrote an article on that, because Burnout Paradise is awesome. It's pretty much amazing. It's like this big open world, there's tons of stuff to explore and collect. There are a lot of different cars, and I've definitely decided which class I like. Although I could easily see the advantage of any of the three different classes, which are speed, which is once you get boost, you always boost or die. And stunt, where you like go off of jumps and crap and you get more boost that way. And the regular style aggression, where you get more boost by killing other people. So it's a lot of fun. My one lamentation about it is that there are no like lap races. They're all just like sprints from one spot to another. So you don't get to, like, do a circuit around the city. I mean, you can always just go drive around the city if you want, and actually have to. I don't know, it's pretty awesome, and there's this huge open world to explore, and lots of stuff to do, so.
Sounds pretty sweet.
It is pretty sweet. Especially for the low price of, like, $3 or something, I think is the average I paid for the 8 games I got.
That's pretty good.
Technically, you don't have to pay anything if you don't want to, so.
Well, I think the highest quality on that is probably Dead Space. Not scary, but a good game.
So I've heard. I'm actually really looking forward to Mirror's Edge. I've heard mixed things about it, but pretty much everyone tells me I'll like it, so.
I've heard that first-person platforming just doesn't work, and that's the problem with it, but I haven't actually played it.
Can definitely appreciate it for doing something different.
Especially with a lot of the, like, haptic feedback peripherals and other things that we're getting.
I saw an article that was for a treadmill.
Yeah.
For actually running, like, actually VR stuff. It sounded awesome, but I have no money.
You know, I would get that and the Oculus Rift and then use them with, like, a haptic feedback vest and, like, do quasi-simulated reality. But if I just wait 20 years, I'll have a neural cortex plug-in. So I'm just going to wait for that because it'll be cheaper.
All right, so you just got a sweet new computer, right?
Totally.
And both Sony and Microsoft are jockeying over who's going to have the sweeter new console. But since we're doing sequels on other consoles month, there's got to be a better name for that.
Sequels on console sequels? Sequel on sequel.
Hot huh? Sequel on sequel action. We've got a la carte on Samus all day.
And everyone's like, yeah, I guess.
Vampires are in, right?
Unfortunately.
No, I think fairies are in.
And vampires. Haven't you seen Twilight? That's a thing.
Yeah, I said fairies.
Oh, right, because
it wasn't a very good joke. So, when is it time to get a sweet new console?
Well, at launch day, so that you can experience all the Red Ring of Death problems that Microsoft is invariably going to
have.
Or
have no games to play with
the Wii U. Don't forget not having any video games, because Mario is sweet, but...
That's a Nintendo problem.
360 didn't have much of a launch library.
What was the launch library on the 360?
Dead or Alive 4?
Wasn't Oblivion on there as well?
No, that came out later in the that next...
By the time I had a 360, that one was out.
The Xbox itself had a
I think Condemned was a launch title.
What?
Condemned.
The original Xbox had Halo, which was also the only game that ever came out.
The original Xbox had Halo, I think Mech Assault and Crimson Skies were like the big three.
And later...
I remember the 360 had Project Gotham Racing.
Oh, as one of the launch titles?
Mm-hmm. Because mine came with it, I think.
I don't even remember that game. I know it existed, but...
It didn't have Batman, and thus I don't care.
Oh, man. I would have played if it had Commissioner Gordon, though, and not Batman.
I would play Commissioner Gordon the video game.
Although half of your action would be like Batman. Batman. Wait. Have cryptic discussion.
Well, there was
turn around after he's already gone.
That's a quick time event, and if you get it just right, you can see Batman leave. Or like when Azrael was Batman for a while and Commissioner Gordon didn't know, and Gordon turned around, and then he turned back, and he's like, what are you still doing there? He's like, I didn't think you were done talking, Commissioner. Gordon's just like, what is going on? See, that's when you should buy a new console, when Batman tells you to.
Well, it's about as good as anything else. I think what I usually do, is this buying like new consoles or just rebuying the old console that after's already stopped working?
One that you have not yet owned.
Well, I think the best rule of thumb is if you're thinking of buying something, buy it when you see something come out on it that you want to play. Like above all others.
I almost considered getting a PS3 for Last of Us, although I might be getting a PS4 anyway, which would solve that problem.
There's a lot of stuff that came out on the PS3 that I would like, but I have a 360, and...
A lot of it is comparable.
Or overlapping. Exclusives are almost dead these
days.
And
there's no... I don't have enough income to justify paying for another console, especially if I'm going to save up and buy a new one. Of course, I've got a few months before I'm going to upgrade, because... We all know the problems that Microsoft had with the Red Ring of Death and all that, so...
Well, and what's coming out on the Xbox One?
Titanfall
looks... GTA 5?
Titanfall looks good.
Yeah, but how long out is that?
I don't remember exactly.
At least a year.
And then Destiny.
I have not heard of it either.
I haven't seen anything about Destiny.
Destiny is the new Bungie project. I actually have it pre-ordered right now.
Is it another shooter?
I don't know that much about it. I think it's going to be something along those lines.
I feel like Bungie only makes shooters. But...
Bungie is like BioWare for me. They make consistently good enough games that I am willing to take a flyer.
Assume that their next one is going to be...
Oh, yeah. The next Dragon Age was announced. Dragon Age 2, 3 was finally announced. It's called Dragon Age Inquisition.
It's not called Dragon Age on Facebook. Hey, Facebook, yay, multiplayer.
It's due out next year, and right now it's slated to be on the...
You totally no-butted me. That's not cool.
Xbox 360, the PS4, Xbox One, and then the PS3 is what it's listed as right now.
Oh, for things that it's going to launch on?
Uh-huh.
Say, my general opinion of when you should upgrade a console is if you own a PS2, don't.
But your PS2 might die.
Well, then get another PS2. I'm on my third PS2.
But
hey, I can beat that.
A 3DS?
I am on my third 360. Remember?
Portable consoles are entirely different.
And remember, I didn't upgrade to a 3DS until Fire Emblem Awakening. So my thing of wait until something you want to play comes out on it still
holds
true.
Yeah, I've never really been an early adopter of anything.
But aren't you an ambassador for the 3DS?
Yeah, no, Ed was.
Oh, I thought you were.
No, I almost was. Ed was, and it was awesome enough that it made me want to get one. Also, my old DS died, so it was a convenient excuse.
There's the other reason. That's the other reason to upgrade consoles, is because your old one is dying.
Especially if they support backwards compatibility. Not doing that, I feel, is shooting yourself in the foot. Although, if you have a PC, then that's not really an issue for you, because you can always emulate by pretending you have the architecture that you used to have. Because, you know, computers. In fact, why the hell can't regular consoles do this? They're just computers! How is backwards compatibility a problem?
I don't even know programming. I was proud of myself when I installed the movies on my laptop because it's not supposed to run on Windows 7. I was proud of myself when I got that working, okay?
That can occasionally be a dramatic feat, if nothing else.
I was proud when in the beta I'm in but can't talk about still, I went into the settings and changed them because you have to go into the source code to do that because the beta doesn't have options.
Awesome. How is that? That seems like one of the easy things that you could have put in for beta.
I can't talk about this beta, but there are plenty of easy things they could have put in that they have failed. Like this guy in this movie I didn't like.
You know, I have a hard time justifying upgrading a console when you can just get a PC that lasts for like 8 years.
Well, conversely, look at the difference. Your new computer is, you said, just under $2,000.
Okay, well, the computer itself, I got a bunch of fancy peripherals that I didn't really need, but since I was blowing a bunch of money on a computer anyway, I got. The computer itself ran just over $1,000.
buy a console, it may only, the console generation, if it lasts as long as this last one did, is going to be about 400. So the amount of investment, the one-time investment, is a lot lower for a console, especially if you're planning on just playing a game.
Think of how much more
machine.
You do on a computer, though. You can do so many things with a computer that you
can't. I can
do
also
on a
buy a much cheaper computer and a console for less than what you paid.
Cheap computers like what, 500?
No, 400. You can get a netbook for like 200.
You could get a desktop for a decent desktop for about $300.
Okay, that
my
is
laptop
cheaper.
Ran me 350, and the one I actually have was about 400.
All I'm saying is computers are really versatile, and you can do things other than play games.
I'm not arguing that. You asked the question of why buy a console in the first place if you have a computer. That's one of the
reasons.
Because
it's slightly cheaper?
Much cheaper.
Well, yeah, but you also need a computer to do other things because we live in the 21st century.
It's still like $200 cheaper if you just look at opportunity costs.
But then you can always play the most recent games.
On the console, yes. Not necessarily on the computer.
Definitely on the computer if you're bothered
exclusives.
To buy one. Okay, well,
you can't play no
exclusives.
You can't play no Fire Emblem vs. Shinten Megami on your computer.
I can't even do that, and I'm not planning on buying a Wii.
Additionally, you also have all of Steam available, so
that is tempting. And League of Legends, and you could just play that for the rest of forever.
Yeah,
you can
could.
Play that for the rest
Land
of
the
forever.
Land the Mad Thresh Hooks.
I could probably play League of Legends for the rest of forever if that's all I played. I haven't even played that game.
If I had to pick,
sure I don't like it.
That raises a question. If you could only play one game for the rest of your life, what would it be?
I'm tempted to say Minecraft, actually, but I might have to think about this a little harder. That's a good question. What is my favorite game? I don't know. Maybe Mega Man X.
Yeah, actually, although I would probably go with League of Legends, but I like video games that I can play and not pay attention to. And League of Legends is the opposite of that. Because if you blink and you get Thresh Hook, you're screwed.
I think the one that I'd probably pick is StarCraft 2, just because I absolutely love that game, even though I'm really bad at it.
Well, yeah, and when I was really into StarCraft 2, I felt about it how I feel about League of Legends now. And it's just got that competitive thing that keeps you going. It's super well balanced. The aesthetics are really good. It hits everything.
I don't know. I really can't think of a game that I would want to play. I don't think I could do it. I don't think I would.
I say that, but I don't think I could do it either. I do so many different things.
If there was only one video game, I think I would just play it and then, like, never play it again. I don't know. That's a hard question. But it made me consider it, so.
Well, another candidate that I'm sure someone would say, given that question, is Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
I hear it's a pretty cool game that isn't afraid of anything.
It is a pretty cool game. Especially if you compare it to Castlevania 2.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Although, as you mentioned in the Castlevania 2 episode, I can definitely see how this game came from that.
Yeah, I can too.
Really, they took the one thing that I wanted, which was a mini-map, and put it in, and...
Well, also, the castle is a lot tighter. Everything connects a lot closer together, and I think part of that is how screens are bigger. There are fewer loading screens, so it just feels a little tighter.
Things are moving along a lot faster.
There's also a lot more use of vertical space, so it feels a little more compressed, even though the world is bigger. Because it's stacked on top of each other, it doesn't feel that much bigger.
The way they did the loading screens was absolutely genius. Did you guys notice those little seedy loading rooms that you walk through, and because they're already loaded with each place you go through, there's like no loading time in between levels?
It's better on the 360, where they have hardware from the future.
Where it's like, I think I know what you're talking about, but I'm having a...
They're just like a little room that has like nothing in them. They're like a... They only take up one screen. That's... And they say CD at the top.
Really? I didn't...
Yeah, they're also the rooms where they give you the name of the area for the first time you go in.
Apparently they did that so well, I didn't realize that was a loading screen.
It's fantastic. It was brilliant. So, Castlevania Symphony of the Night is heralded by a lot of people as like the best game ever. I think it's a pretty good game, but, you know, on the scale from 1 to 100, I give it about an apple juice. So,
saying anything is the best game ever is...
Well, yeah, because humans are squishy and relative and stuff. But it's a pretty solid game, and they did a lot of things with the hardware that it held up really well.
Well, part of that is this is in the early era of 3D. If you go back to this era, games all look like crap universally. But this game is 2D, and it does beautiful things with its sprites. So artistically, it still looks just as good as it did then.
And playing it on a TV much larger than it was ever intended for, it still looks pretty good.
Yeah, it is an absolutely beautiful game.
And the music is so good. I love the music in this game. It's awesome.
Zach, in the past, something you've said to me has been, why would you make a 2D game when you can make a 3D game? It's just lazy. Having played this, do you feel differently?
I think in the modern day, I do not. But with this one...
But 1999 is not modern day.
Well, when this first came out, the technology was still fairly new, so people are still trying to get used to it. Now I think we have more than enough time to get used to the fact that how 3D and all that works, and just running in a 2D plane is just lazy.
I heartily disagree, because you get an entirely different game in a 2D.
I'm well aware of the fact that my opinion is the minority on the podcast.
Well, yeah, but you're excluding an entire possible subset of experiences simply because it does not accurately simulate real life in the manner in which you move through space. Why? That's myopic.
How many 2D games have I played?
I don't know. Not nearly enough. Podcast? Go play Super Meat Boy. Go play Braid.
I don't think he would like Super Meat Boy.
Or Braid, for that matter, but go play them.
In the modern day, most of the only company that is still really releasing heavy 2D games is Nintendo. And
Konami.
There's a reason for that.
What does Konami make?
Castlevania.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and Konami. And Capcom, actually.
Capcom.
They got Resi, so.
Yeah, and Lost Planet. I think they do more 3D than 2D, but they still do some 2D.
There are also a lot of indie developers doing a bunch of 2D games, because it's way easier to produce art assets for 2D games, so.
That's why I said major companies.
Oh.
The vast majority of major companies have switched over to 3D games.
Yeah. And well, I think that's because the popular demand exists for it. I think if people played more 2D games, there would be more 2D games available. But
well, I also think that you can do so. There's so much more you can do in giving players a 3D plane to move around in.
What about StarCraft II? That is a modern game, and it's essentially two-dimensional.
Kind of.
It's two-dimensional. Isometric.
It is isometric, but all the art assets are in 3D, which I guess is not that big a deal because they are in
2.5D.
Well, yeah.
Whatever, that's a stupid term, but it's a 2D game. You're not interacting with a third dimension.
But a unit can move in two directions, where I guess four directions.
Yeah.
Whereas in most 2D games, you can only move in two.
And while you're only staring down on them, you are actually interacting with the third dimension.
Kind of. There's height, but...
Well, you're employing height, flying units, all sorts of that stuff that come across with having that third dimension involved.
Yeah, except you're really just, like, setting a variable saying height equals this. It's not actually a third dimension that you're interacting with.
Well, but that's true of any game if you get deep enough into the code. I feel like, well, I get what you're going for. I have to object to this point.
Okay,
it's not the same thing.
I'll come up with a different example. And then you will rue it. Rue!
Okay, you want to modify that side-scrolling. If it just is one or two directions on the screen, side-scrolling on one side or the other.
Okay.
There's just so much more you can do in a full movement plane.
Oh, yeah.
I think 2D games, as we just define them, will be relegated to... It may not be the dustbin of history, but they'll be pretty close.
I think there's a lot more that we can be doing with them, and I think we are doing a lot of it, but you guys don't play them, so...
I play some of them.
You do play some of them. You're better about it than Zach, but I don't think Zach would enjoy most of them anyway, because they don't involve using two analog sticks. So
some of them do.
Neither does StarCraft.
Well, yeah, but
one of my favorite games of all time.
StarCraft is hell on an analog stick. I speak from experience. It's a special hell. That's the hell that child molesters and people who talk in the theater go to, when they wish they must play StarCraft but then only use an N64 controller.
Oh God, that game was awful. And I think there was a glitch in the code, because you couldn't build spore colonies on a mission that you're supposed to be able to build spore colonies on.
That would suck. At any rate, Castlevania Symphony of the Night, you play as Dracula's son and fight Dracula and try to stop the resurrection of Dracula.
Alucard!
Well, it starts, you play as Richter and you do the end of Castlevania X. Just the story bit, though, because the final boss of Dracula X is insane. Whereas it's just the first stage from Castlevania 1 and this one, only easier.
Also, Richter has, like, super uppercut moves in this, so you can, like, destroy anything in one hit. So.
Really?
Yeah.
There are, like, Street Fighter inputs, and they don't tell you that, because they're mostly there for when you beat the game, you unlock the ability to play as Richter through the whole thing if you want.
Oh, okay.
And like I said, you need to, use them. You have to, like, combo cancel your way up through the air using them. And that's the only way you can progress, so...
But anyway, Simon Belmont accuses Dracula of stealing men's souls and making them his slaves, to which he wittily replies, cannot the same be said of all religions? Like, that makes any sense?
And then you're like, wait, Dracula is a religion? When did this happen? And
I played Castlevania 4, I don't remember that part.
When exactly did the whole I'm a religion thing actually occur?
Here.
Yeah, they actually, this is about when they decided, oh yeah, we have enough of these now, there should be a story, and it forever changed the face of Castlevania.
Every 100 years, Castlevania shows up in Japan, so they also have to deal with that in addition to Godzilla, and...
Although, maybe sometimes it's more often than every 100 years, it's kind of just whenever Dracula gets off his ass.
Well, he can be resurrected prematurely, as established in this game.
Whenever Dracula runs out of Cheez-Its, he has to return to the mortal realm.
No, mortals! I have returned for tasty baked snacks.
But I can't get home unless banished, so someone call a Belmont.
I think that's the episode title. Someone call a Belmont.
So Richter defeats Dracula. Everything's great. I think it's 5 years later. Suddenly...
Wasn't that? I thought it was four for some reason.
It's an indeterminate number of years, but not yet a century or something.
Yeah. A couple years later, Castlevania shows up again. Richter's nowhere to be found, and Alucard's like, ugh, I guess
fine.
I have to deal with this. Alucard's not that emo, but I like to imagine he is.
And this is before he completely lost his mind and went over to work in Britain.
Yep.
Oh, gah. That was a sideways reference that I'm going to totally post in the comments.
So anyway, Alucard shows up, and Death is like, you're working against us? Power-ups, bitch. They be mine.
No! My power-ups!
So you rush into the game with Alucard's sword, Alucard's shield, Alucard cape, and, like, Alucard necklace or something like that. And those are the names of all your items, and you can recover them later. But Death is just like, I'll be taking those, and you lose your awesome sword with this, like, after-image effect and stuff, and then you're just, like, Alucard, the guy who punches things and can, like, kind of... step backwards really quickly.
He's very good at moonwalking.
So even this, though this is a 2D action game like the old Castlevanias, it has an equipment screen, and the weapon you equip affects your attack pattern and speed. In addition, you can equip an offhand item, which can be a second weapon or a shield.
Though there's no real purpose to equipping a second weapon, because you have to wait until one weapon finishes attacking to use the other. So
stats, which this game has.
Indeed. Can you also level up in this game? I can't remember how that came yet.
You level up.
Okay. So, yeah, you also have experience, so at some point, things just become easy town.
I was like level 8 or something like that.
That's something they added to this game, which I'm not... It's like the one element I don't really agree with in this game is that you can level up, and Castlevania is supposed to be about skill, or was about skill.
While I agree with you, and I think we should go into that later, I think part of that is this is a game that encourages exploration. And because of that, sometimes you might need or want to backtrack. So they wanted it to make it so when you were backtracking, enemies were not a big deal. It was trivial to deal with old areas, so backtracking didn't feel like a chore.
Todd, remember, as gamers, we live for a string of petty victories.
That is true.
And each little ding, as it is known in World of Warcraft and MMO parlance, is just another petty victory that you get to see level up. Yay!
And there are real sparkly colors and a nice sound when you level up in this game.
I gotta say, playing this game for the first time about a year ago is probably the single largest inspiration for the game I'm working on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was playing this game, I'm like, man, I really wish I could attack with this sword instead of just swinging it in an awkward arc. And that was basically the entire impetus for the game I'm working on, so...
As I think I've said before, in 1999, this is the game I would have made. You level up, you get equipment, it's skill challenge based. You get different platforming moves as you go on. Towards the end, you start getting little creatures that aid you, and they level up themselves.
You get sweet spells, bro.
That are performed by doing Street Fighter combos.
Yeah, that's. I think everything needs Street Fighter combos, honestly.
I disagree.
You get money.
Mostly because I can't.
Yeah, you get money
anyway.
That you can buy.
How do you use the money anyway? Because I never found anyone to buy it.
Yeah, the library is the main place where you buy stuff.
There's a guy who is, like, the librarian, and he's like, Master Alucard, your father's out, so I'll sell you stuff.
What you buying?
Yeah, except he's like...
And I don't think I ever got to the library.
It's also called the Lawn Library, technically.
I got to the... It's a lawn library. But I never found the library, I don't think.
Yeah,
I think that would have been about the next place you go after where you go.
He's also tucked like way back in a corner.
Well,
so.
I never actually got to the library itself.
But yeah, and it's got each of the levels, while not super well themed, some of them are better than others, definitely.
The clock tower is pretty good.
All the clocks.
Yeah, the alchemy lab is awesome. I must really stress this. I can't remember any individual tune offhand, but the music in this game is really good.
Yes, the opening theme is great.
Oh yeah, that's fantastic.
I wasn't sure when you first started up the game whether or not you were supposed to actually control Alucard on his sprint into the castle.
Well, it feels like you should, right? I mean, that's a cool sprint with him jumping off the drawbridge and...
And then you can never move in that manner again, which is unfortunate. The best form of locomotion you get, other than turning into a wolf at a later point, is...
Dashing.
Yeah,
backwards.
Triangle by default. You dash backwards slightly faster than you can walk forward, so if you point yourself backwards and mash triangle, you'll get there slightly faster.
Triangle? What the hell are you talking about?
It's a PlayStation game originally.
Yep. And I played it on a PlayStation.
We call it Y.
Also, you can turn into a bat to fly and turn into poison mist that disintegrates things eventually.
And eventually, as the bat, you get the ability to shoot fireballs, so... And as the wolf, you get the ability to, like... hyper jump, kind of like in Super Metroid, I guess.
I always found the wolf transformation to be kind of pointless.
There's one spot where you can use it to sequence break, but, and I did that on accident because I couldn't figure out where the hell else to go. One thing about this game, it is not super great at pointing you in the right direction, which, given that it's focused on exploration, is probably alright.
Well, that was kind of my problem, is I didn't know where I was supposed to be going, I didn't know why I was supposed to care. It, like I said, without the ability to know where I'm supposed to be going, or at least having a little dot that's telling me, you know, you're supposed to be going this way, but if you want to go that way and do whatever the hell you want, it's fine. I just needed that little, you know, breadcrumb trail showing me where I was.
Metroid Prime is awesome about that.
See, but... I don't like that much of a breadcrumb trail. I don't like that much of a breadcrumb trail because don't know why, but it just feels like my hand is being held, and then it feels like work to me that I need to get through. This game really rewarded exploring to me, and because you have that map that fills in as you go to areas,
yeah, then you can
could tell, oh, hey, there's an area up here that I haven't been to yet. Maybe that's it. Well, and if not, well, I get some sort of potion or something.
Yeah,
well,
and that's really what makes it okay, I think.
Well, there's also a personality thing. I am very goal-focused. I want to know exactly what the game is wanting me to go do, so
be
I
Dracula.
Want to know where to go. I want to know where to go so I can kick Dracula in the nuts. I mean...
Up the stairs. Oh, actually, that's where Richter is, and he's like, I'm evil!
Just like that?
Yeah, pretty much.
I went for a Renfield voice instead of a Richter voice, although that makes sense.
So the purpose of this game is to explore Dracula's castle, if possible, not kill Richter, converse with Maria, who's like Richter's girlfriend or something. So,
what is she doing in there anyway?
Looking for Richter.
Yeah, she's being a ninja looking for Richter.
She gives you the glasses you need to see the evil orb possessing Richter. But only if you get to a secret spot that you have no idea she's there. You do know how to get there, though, because the rings you find in random corners of the castle tell you to go there.
So what you're saying is she's actually Richter's beneficiary on his life insurance policy. So she's indirectly trying to get him killed.
Although, if you play the game normally, you kill Richter and never know what happened. But
and Alucard, I was all emo. He's like, well, at least that's over with.
I'm going back to sleep.
So, you explore Dracula's castle, get items. Generally, there's not a whole lot you can collect in the way of, like, additional traversal. You eventually need the bat in order to beat the game.
And the double jump.
Oh, yeah, I completely forgot about the double jump. That's a good one. But, generally, it's mostly just picking up random power-ups and stuff. And, oh man, okay, the extra items in this game. So, if you play Castlevania, occasionally you'll break a chandelier and, like, an item pops out and you can use it as a sub-weapon thing. This game has those because, hey, it's a Castlevania game, right? But why do you need them? You're f***ing Alucard. You're a vampire who has a sword. What more do you need?
That's
They're
a problem
also
even
pathetic.
In Castlevania 4, where you can whip in 8 directions, so you don't need weapons with different arcs. They're a holdover, and I kind of like that they're there. I mean, they have their own ammo mechanics, so they're never in the way of anything. So I think they're fine. But they are a little extraneous.
Yeah, they don't really need to be there. And I like having them on hand just cause, but 90% of the time you're just going to want the clock. So if you get something that's not the clock, you have to wait there for it to disintegrate so you don't accidentally pick it up.
Well, but at least unlike in old Castlevania games, you can pick up a weapon when, or re-pick up a weapon when you get a new one. You're not
yeah,
stuck with it.
That is true. This game is really, I don't know, it's pretty awesome. There's a lot to do in it, and it's big.
The art is great, the gameplay is great, the sound is great. I mean, it's one of those games that if you're giving it a magazine score, it gets a 10 in every area.
Except the pacing.
And the voice acting.
And the voice acting.
But let's talk about the pacing first, because I think I disagree with you, whereas we'll just make fun of the voice acting.
My biggest problem with the pacing is, it may have just been the order that I picked it up, but I felt like I got a lot of power-ups all bunched together at the end of the regular castle. For those of you who don't know, spoilers, there's an inverse castle that Dracula's actually in, and after you beat the game, basically, you have to go through the inverse castle and then actually beat the game. But it's a lot faster because you already have all the power-ups. But I feel like I picked up all the movement power-ups, other than the wolf, in like a 10-minute interval.
You're exaggerating a little. It's more like a 30-minute interval, I feel.
But given the length of this game,
that's
really
still
tightly
really
packed.
Compressed.
And I kind of think of, and you may disagree with me on this, that's also the point where, at least for me, because I like to explore all the areas and I know you play similarly, I'm starting to outlevel all the enemies. So I wonder if part of that is just you're breezing through it because the enemies are becoming a bit easier than intended. The difficulty curve isn't quite right. So you're speeding through a part that was supposed to be paced a little more slowly.
I feel like that might have been the case. It didn't even occur to me that that might be what's happening. I think the largest thing, though, is that by the time I needed all of them or was going around collecting them, I only had, like, maybe 10% of the map left unexplored. So it was really just like, you know, quick wrap up, get all the items run, and turns out you get all these really awesome change the way you play items right next to each other. I don't know if you can get them in a different order even. I feel like they had the idea for these items, and they just kind of shoved them in at the end because they didn't know where else to put them.
Well, I feel like the double jump and the bat are the two big ones, and
definitely,
they just gate a lot, but it is kind of a problem.
Although by the time you get the bat, you don't really need anything else unless you want to get 100%, so. Although I think my save file is actually like 170% or something.
Oh, you can get 102%.
Okay.
Because of a glitch where they counted a half percent somewhere in two different spots, and then they're also there on the reverse castle.
Okay. I definitely got over 100% completion, but
so yeah. They have a 1.5% areas?
Oh, there are a couple areas where you get a half percentage point, because the game is divided into more than 100 areas. But there are, they accidentally put in two extra, and they're in both versions.
Oh.
So you can get to up to 102%.
That said, it still holds up really well, and I didn't really use the other power-ups other than the bat very much anyway. I also didn't really get a whole lot of familiars. I got, like, maybe two. I think I used fairy most often.
I used the sword most often, I feel. There are only four.
Oh, really? I thought there were a lot more than that. I got two of them, then.
I was so pathetic at this game, I never unlocked any of this crap.
I'm telling you, the red skeletons, I think, drop the basilard. Just farm those until you get it, because it's amazing. It is easily the best weapon in this game, because it has the attack pattern of stab, and it only takes, like, 3 frames, as opposed to the sword swing, which takes, like, 40.
All right, there's a lot more we could talk about on this game, but we're getting close to time, so one more thing I want to hit, which is this game's attempt at a story with themes and stuff.
Yep.
And it's voice acting.
What is a man?
They sound like first-year drama students.
Oh, Maria.
No, I was thinking of the I Want to Be the Guy parody of this.
Oh, okay.
Where the kid goes, "Die, you monster! You don't belong in this world!" And they do the whole thing. And at the end, when Dracula throws the wine glass, you have to dodge it, or it will just straight up kill you.
I actually instinctively, I hadn't played Symphony of the Night when I played I Want to Be the Guy. I instinctively dodged that, because at that point, I'd gotten so trained to every small object killing you. So
the theme of this game is religion is bad and steals your soul, and Dracula is like that.
Or maybe it's just that Dracula is bad and steals your soul because he has a religion? I'm not entirely sure.
The theming is kind of wishy-washy.
It's, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your view, a lot of the sequels I've heard wonderful things about. But this game really set the tone for basically every other Castlevania game that comes after. There's, like, leveling and different weapons and stuff.
You haven't played Castlevania 2007, which is a God of War clone.
No,
it's
I
the
haven't.
Worst. Don't play it.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember hearing about that one.
I'm thinking mostly of the portables, which are really the only ones I'm familiar with. But
and there are a couple XBLA ones that are in this vein.
But they all play very similarly. You have a big thing to it. It's a Metroidvania. And this is very stereotypically a Metroidvania. But
this is the game that caused the name because people were like, this isn't Castlevania, it's Metroidvania.
You have a big thing to explore and you have power-ups to let you get new places and it's, except you're a vampire instead of an intergalactic bounty hunter and you have a sword instead of a gun.
I thought you were going to say something.
Good input, Zach.
I was going to, and then you jumped on it, so it's like, okay, well.
Okay. I feel like the voice acting kind of ruins any attempt that this story might have, because it's instantly hilarious.
It's just so bad. If they just took the voice acting out, at least you can take the lines a little bit more seriously, because you can input your own
text,
voices in there.
You know,
for what the guys sound like.
I would have been okay with, like, the opening dialogue and then nothing else until you beat either Richter or Dracula.
And maybe the creepy game over. Because that's not bad.
That, okay.
Yeah, but that is annoying.
So.
Especially when you're staring at it every 5 minutes.
In this game, when you beat the game, or the remake of this, you also get to play as Maria instead. But in this game, when you beat the game, you have the option to play as Richter by choosing the name Richter at the game creation screen. You see that game over screen all the goddamn time because Richter has no health. He does all the damage, but he's a glass cannon. He can't take a punch.
He has that sweet whip with that range too.
He does, and he also has like this flying jump kick and like a sonic shoryuken and like this thing where he throws swords that you didn't know he had around him. And oh man, you can also use, so he collects hearts like in a normal Castlevania game.
Yeah.
He has this thing where if you press triangle or Y, I guess, he uses like somewhere in the range of 10 to 30 hearts to do a super attack with the sub weapon you have. When you have knives, you just throw knives endlessly until you try to move. It is you can kill basically any boss with it. Or when you do axes, you have like this spiraling axe shield. You know that two phase boss, the two guys, the one with the, yeah, one of those took it out.
Wow.
Yeah, it's silly. In addition to that, you can also use them normally where you just, like, huck the axe or huck the knife.
And you have that sweet whip that Alucard sadly does not have.
Indeed, yeah. The whip is also pretty awesome, but it's damn near necessary because, as I said, he can't take a punch, so he can't afford to get close to anything.
Well, that's just like Castlevania.
Yeah, no, it plays a lot more like Castlevania. I actually almost wish they would make a game where you just played as Richter, but the level was designed to play as Richter because it's a lot of fun to play as him.
Well, coming soon. Castlevania 3 and Castlevania 4 to this podcast.
Yeah, those are in there somewhere, but can you do sweet Sonic Shoryukens?
I do not believe so.
Yeah, that's going to be a deal
breaker. You can whip in 8 directions.
Whip it good.
And moonwalk.
And moonwalk. Oh no, this is a good game. It held up really well, and I definitely recommend playing it if you never have and enjoy action exploration-y games.
If you enjoyed video games, I think you should play this one.
Yeah.
Well, if you're as ham-handed as I am when it comes to stuff like this, you're probably not going to get very far, though.
It's definitely worth an experience, if nothing else. How much does it cost if you're getting on Xbox Live-ish?
It's
10 to 15.
I can't remember if it's 10 or 15 because I bought it a year ago.
I bought it, obviously, for this, but I can't remember what it was, especially because this was before they did the, before they changed any pricing scheme.
I would say that even at the price of $15, this might be worth a play, but there are sequels that may be about the same price that I think ended up being even better. So, I don't know. It's up to you. It's definitely worth a look if you have some extra cash to blow, so.
Alright, so we mentioned Metroid a few times in this episode, but we also mentioned another game where you have a sweet gun that charges up, and that's Mega Man X. We teased it last time. We talk about it all the goddamn time.
No, you talk about it all the goddamn time.
Because it's the best goddamn game. I'm the goddamn Batman.
There's a reason I'm sitting over here.
Next time on Last Time, Zach will be all grumpy and frumpy, but we'll be like, high five!
It's Mega Man X!
Mega Man X!
I'm a charge of my lasers!
Zach, you may not be as cool as we are now, but one day, you will be.
I'm already.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games, copyright 2013.
All of the video games and other media mentioned herein is copyright of its respective owners. That may not be obvious.
You can contact us at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. And if you want to contact one of us individually, I am Zach at lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Tyler at lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Or Jeremy, G-E-R-E-M-Y, at lasttimeonvideogames.com.
You can visit our show page, if you don't want to hit the blog, at gplus.2/lasttimeonvideogames.
If you do want to visit the blog, lasttimeonvideogames.com.
And we've got an RSS feed. You should probably click on it, or one of the other buttons on there.
We're also on iTunes.
And the Twitters.
Twitter is at LTOVG.
Unlike all the games we play on this show, we cannot be emulated.